Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Home on a Friday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here and watching on YouTube and listening on your radio, your Odyssey app, your smart speaker, however you consume us. Maybe you're in your car right now. Just got a video, though, very, very sweet, from Alex. His little daughter is maybe a year old, and she was just dancing so hard, Ben, to your Ben I Like song, the folk song that we played earlier in the show. And really, really sweet. She's bouncing up and down, listening to you. And well, it wasn't you, but it was your words.
I like a juicy, yeah. Sweet
it sounds like a little kid's song.
Like the Wiggles or
like
something.
The Wiggles, yeah.
We are popular in the 1 to 2 year old demographic, I believe.
Yeah,
strangely popular.
It always domes me out when somebody says that their kids listen to the show, you know, because we do get a little adult from time to time.
You get a little adult from time to time.
Maybe,
I'm very kid friendly.
You are maybe the biggest pervert in this room, if I had to guess. S&M and ball gags and gift masks. I don't even think it's close anymore. It used to be me. I'll wear that. You really have turned into quite the pervert on this program. I'll take some of the responsibility for it, certainly, but I feel like I've just brought that guy out of you. It does freak me out, parents. We do get a little risque from time to time.
It is a Friar Friday. We are 1 hour away from our weekly manager's report conversation with Padres skipper Mike Schilt. He will join us from Arizona, presumably some hotel in Arizona. I doubt he's at the ballpark yet. It's a night game tonight.
It's true.
So
he's a bit of a go-getter, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is Jake Mintz, who's on the line.
Oh, we've got him?
Yeah.
Is he set up? All right, let's go out. It is also a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. And joining us, brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue in North Park and Flint Springs. We got Jake Mintz today joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jake, good morning to you. Happy Friday.
On a bike ride.
He's outside.
Yeah, I'm out and about, gentlemen. I'm biking from New York City to Albany, New York this weekend, but there is always time.
How far is that?
And for Woods.
Yeah, how far is that?
It's in total about 200 and change. I'm doing it over 3 days with my father.
Oh, that's yeah. So like a father-son trip. Are you guys doing it for a charity or just doing it to do it?
No, just because we hate ourselves.
Yeah. I want to know. So I had a buddy that used to ride bikes, and he's wearing the cap. He would wear the cap that you're wearing. It's a little cap, and then the bill is flipped up. What is the? Is there a purpose behind those hats, or is it just what bike riders do?
Just looks cool.
Besides looking absolutely radical, I believe the reason you wear a cap is just to contain your sweat.
Correct.
Like to, right, obviously. Now, for the little dumb bill up here, I think if you push it down, it's supposed to block the heat getting in your eyes, but I don't know. I just bought it because, you know, I just want to fit in, gentlemen.
That's exactly right. Like, and I've done that with baseball and stuff. I'm like, you guys wear it? Like, back in the day, everyone had those fighting necklaces. Like, what is this for?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I got to get one.
Well, that's actually, the fighting necklaces, that's why pitcher injuries are up, actually.
No one wears them.
Yeah,
this is the old. I love hats, but I hate how they keep the sun out of my eyes. I really wish there was a hat where I could still get the full glare of the sun right in my face. And Jake has figured it out.
It's perfect for people who like staring into the eclipse. Same demo.
It's amazing, man. Last week we talked to Jordan, and I wanted to ask you, before we talk about what's going on nationally in baseball, I wanted to ask you about your team that you coach in Harlem. I just think it's so cool.
Yes.
I said it on the air last week that I was going to make a donation. I completely forgot. Ben was out, and I just made a donation to the Hellfighters. Tell me about this thing that you do and basically how rad it is, what you do.
Sure. So, yeah, I've lived in Harlem now, New York, for about 6 years. And about 4 years ago, I was walking by like the Little League field, and I was like, why am I not involved in this? Like, I coached baseball in high school for kids, and I played, and I like missed being around the field. So I started volunteering. I'm actually also on the board of part of Little League. And then there's a travel program that's, you know, unofficially unaffiliated with the Little League. It's a lot of the same kids, and that's called the Harlem Hellfighters. It's named after the first all-Black Army battalion from World War I, who their barracks is right next to one of the fields that we play at. And so the mission statement of the organization of the Hellfighters is just to give kids in Harlem a local baseball experience, so that basically we're bringing Harlem kids around the area to play competitive travel games. And, you know, there's so many discussions about how baseball is underfunded in minority communities. And when you're around it, like on the ground level, you see how that manifests in a really interesting way. And the number one thing is field space and field quality. So just as an example, right, if the kids down in Greenwich Village who play on turf, if it rains on a Thursday, they can play on a Friday. Uptown, if it rains on a Thursday, you might not be able to play on a Saturday because those fields are not turf. And so a lot of the money we're raising is eventually going to hopefully go to some sort of capital improvements to those fields. But in the short term, we're bringing our 12U team up to Cooperstown this year for the first time. So we're really excited to give those kids that kind of experience. But I love it. You know, I've coached the 10U team. I've been with the same kids now for like a handful of years. To see them grow up is great. You know, I do it for the money, boys. I do it for the money.
Hey, we just got a fresh $50 coming your way from Ben and Wood. So enjoy that. Don't spend it all in one place, Jake.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all volunteer. I absolutely love it. It is the thing outside of covering baseball that fills my tank. So I appreciate you letting me talk about it.
Let's see. I was just looking at your feed. You're doing a little Dodger loving yesterday, talking to Andy McCullough about his new Clayton Kershaw biography. Why would I care about a Clayton Kershaw biography?
Why would you ask him this question?
I'm curious because I mean, I don't know. Why would I care? Should I care?
You wouldn't.
So here's why I think you should kind of care: is that you were never the victim of Clayton Kershaw in a real sense, right?
True.
He didn't throw the no-hitter against the Padres. It was against the Rockies. He never beat you in the playoffs. You're just kind of a bystander as a San Diegan to the greatness of Clayton Kershaw. And I think you will enjoy aspects of the Clayton Kershaw book because he is such an interesting character that there's so much in the book. I loved it. Andy is my favorite writer, my favorite baseball writer in the world. So I really liked it. But he talked about this when he came on our podcast. He wrote the book because it was like, hey, Clayton, you're kind of nuts when you start, but you're normal the other 4 days. Why? Right? And that is kind of the true line. And if you are someone who does not like Clayton Kershaw, you will revel in his failure. Because there's a lot of October losses in the book, okay?
I'm in then. Okay, yeah, then it sounds like a good read for a lot of Padre fans out there.
You're talking about like victims of Clayton Kershaw. Aren't Dodgers fans some of the
Yes, that's true. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Talking to our pal Jake Mentz from Cespedes Family Barbecue here on Ben and Woods this morning. I know that ride to Albany probably feels a little bit better after your beloved Orioles just took three of four from the Yankees, right? Three of four
from the Yankees. Yeah, they looked great. Really, those two teams are solidifying themselves as the two best in the AL East already. The Blue Jays not getting Vlad and Bo going has been really not great for them. The Red Sox are like a hospital right now, but the number of injuries they have is ridiculous. They've done an amazing job considering how hurt everybody is, right? And then the Rays just don't look like themselves. So I just like Baltimore and New York atop the division. And the biggest news for the Orioles was Kyle Bradish coming back and starting yesterday. Remember during spring training when everyone's elbow was starting to get ouchies? He was one of those first guys. And it was like, oh, well, he's going to get Tommy John. Well, he just rehabbed it and was back yesterday throwing as hard as he was last year. And so if he rejoins the rotation and it's Burns, Bradish, and Grayson Rodriguez, that's pretty formidable. That's Rodriguez went on the IL yesterday, but I don't think that's a long-term thing. I think it's just, you know, for a little bit of rest.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a nasty top three, and it's not like they're not deep beyond that. I wanted to ask you, too. I know, look, we're in San Diego where bringing up prospects has been a way of life. And here for the last few years, we get excited about our prospects. Some of them we get too excited about. But I had not seen as much hype for a prospect other than Jackson Holliday in the last couple of years. Obviously, was tough on the big league level. He's back down. Do you expect, is he struggling down in the minors? I saw that he was for like the first week or something. I don't know how he's doing now, but what a testament to the way they built that team where, like, yeah, we can bring him up, gets a cup of coffee, we'll send him right back down. We got other guys that can replace him. Really, like, you guys are so loaded in your farm, but
yeah.
But what do you, I know that had to be disappointing for you because it's been disappointing for us when we brought guys up and they didn't perform immediately.
So it's easier to swallow when, you know, Gunnar Henderson is a top five MVP candidate leading off every day. And I think if, like, Holliday had come up 3 years ago when the O's sucked and then he sucked, it would have stung more. I think, again, the kid's 20 and he had ascended up the minors about as fast as a high school shortstop can ascend. And so for him to have struggles at the big league level is no surprise, right? And I don't think it is concerning, nor should it necessarily change the way we see him as a prospect yet. I will say the way he was being overmatched was concerning. The Orioles, when they've brought guys up, they teach plate discipline so specifically. And what that leads to is guys being too passive at the big league level when they come up. Holliday did not have that problem. For him, it was more about swinging through fastballs in the strike zone. And so I'm curious how he's going to go down and remedy that. But it's good, right? Like, you get a taste, you know what you fail at, you go back down and you fix it. And this is this person has never failed.
Never.
In his life, right? Something that I certainly cannot relate to as an enormous failure. And so for him to taste that, it will be fascinating to see how he rebounds. But within the context of the Orioles, he cannot play another game this year with the big league team, and it doesn't really change how good I think they are.
Yeah, good point.
Talking to Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue. And Jake, I want to get your opinion. How should I feel about the Oakland A's? Part of me is like, this is awesome. Good for Mark Kotze. This is like the Major League movie come to life. They're trying to win despite everything being against them. The owner trying to move the team to Las Vegas. Then part of me goes, I don't want him to have any success. I don't want them to be good. I want them to be punished for what they've been doing to a city of Oakland and, trying to what they're doing and moving the team around. So how should I feel about this weird kind of good start for the Oakland A's where they're just 2.5 games out of first place?
So maybe this is a sad look at it. The owner is going to win anyway. Okay. John Fisher is almost certainly, the team is gone, right? The evil villain has gotten the dub. And so giving the fans one last taste of on-field baseball revelry before the club leaves forever is wonderful for me. It is a reason for those fans to care about something baseball-related one last time. Now, if I end up being wrong and the team stays, then that's even better. But I think that the A's being interesting, even though it does directly benefit the ownership group, is fine with me.
Yeah, because it's the players. I mean, you're rooting for the players. They did nothing wrong. They just show up to the ballpark every day and do their jobs.
The players and the coaching staff and even the general manager in the front office, right?
Yeah.
That's out of their hands. And so if this team finishes at 500, that's a huge win.
That's huge.
And I remember during spring training, I loved the way that their manager, Mark Kotze, said it. He said, our goal's 500. I hate it when bad teams go to spring training and they're like, we're going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, the White Sox essentially did this year. And it was like, you're not. You're not going to win the World Series. That's okay. You're bad. Accept that you're bad and try and improve within that context. And that's what the A's did, right? The A's went to spring and they said, 500 is what we're all gunning for, right? Let's not get disappointed if we lose three in a row. It's a long season. And I love that, and I think you're seeing the benefit of that. And Mason Miller is just a reason enough to buy a television at this point. It is electric. It is electric. I might get cable again, you know, just for Mason Miller, even though I can watch it anyway.
Was named the American League reliever of the month today.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. I said this on the podcast today. I want to say it again. There are too many fan bases right now with bad bullpens saying Mason Miller would be a great ad, okay? Just because there is a good player on a bad team does not mean that you are entitled to them.
Correct.
Mason Miller is not a free agent until after 2029. He will be in Vegas for two seasons.
Yeah.
They're not trading someone with 5 years of service time left.
Yeah, listen up, okay? Dodger fans. So, I know I've seen all you guys. We should get Mason Miller. How much help do you need?
The Orioles and the Yankees fans were doing this week because he shoved against both of them.
Yep.
And so, but just it let Mason Miller be good on the A's. That's fine. Not every good player has to be on your favorite team. This is related to a phenomenon that used to happen when the Orioles were bad. When, you know, a team would play the Orioles, like the Yankees play the Orioles, and a Yankee fan would be
Cedric Mullins.
Say something like, no. It's less like they're going to be on the Yankees, but we're like, oh, they're a nice little player. It's so patronizing.
It absolutely is.
Oh, Trey Mancini's a good little player. It's like, no, he's an adult. Okay? He's a real boy. Please, Mason Miller is electric.
He's a man.
Him on the A's.
Yeah, he's a man. He's a man. Thank you, brother. Yeah, continue.
Jake, that road is not biking itself, so you better get back going toward Albany.
Flip that lid and get after it.
This is sport mode, boys.
Attaboy. See you, buddy. Love Jake. Great
Jake
job.
Jake Mintz, Cespedes Family Barbecue, our weekly conversations. Brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Oh, the brisket is so, so good. Get it in North Park, Flint Springs, or at Petco Park at Grand Ole Barbecue.
You've always wondered about the flip hat, the little tiny build.
So weird.
He didn't really have a good explanation.
No,
for
nobody
it.
Ever like does. It's funny though.
White men can't jump.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, that was Sidney Dean. He wore it. My buddy used to wear one, and I was like, oh, cool.
I had a buddy that wore one when he played tennis in high school. Every tennis match, he had a flip hat. Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
It's a weird scene, I think.
By the way, I mentioned Mason Miller, the American League Reliever of the Month for April. We have all of the award winners in. And if you want to get upset, Padres fans, I can give you a little reason to. When we come
we
back.
We love to be upset.
When we come back with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again to Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza.
Delicious.
I was at work last night, and one of my colleagues texted and goes, what is this that's on the air? Because they replayed the Roundtable from 5 to 6. And he goes, I thought Ben was at Channel 10 right now.
Oh.
I go, that's the replay of our Roundtable. And he goes, oh, Roundtable, very underrated.
It is. It's really good.
Very solid.
So. Trust me, looking at the sports landscape last night, today was the first day I thought to myself, should we just replay that bad boy? And then I thought, no, we're going to soldier on.
Could have saved me from jelly bean eating.
Potential.
Just replayed it in the last hour instead.
You could have saved yourself.
You could have saved yourself there also by one, sending the right clip, and then two, not throwing our producer under the bus.
Fair enough. All right, so MLB, knowing that it was a light morning, probably chose this morning to announce their March/April Players of the Month, Pitchers of the Month, and no huge surprises. National League Player of the Month is Mookie Betts, who was the best player in baseball the first month of the season. Hit .368. That is the best batting average, best on-base percentage, .477, OPS, .1101, OPS plus, .214, 10 doubles, 2 triples, 6
hey,
homers.
Christ.
Had 10 more walks than strikeouts. Yeah, Mookie was insanely good in April. Gunnar Henderson was named the AL Player of the Month. He had 10 home runs, matching Mike Trout. Also stole 6 bases, only had all 10 last year. So
wow.
Adding a speed element to his game and paced the Orioles a hot start with a .291, .356, .624 slash line from the leadoff spot in their lineup. So those are your players of the month. Your pitch?
Got no problems with that.
Pitchers of the month. Two guys Padres have faced in the last couple of weeks. In the National League, it's Ranger Suarez, who just kind of stopped giving up runs, had a .063 whip in his first 6 starts with a .132 ERA over 41 innings. And then in the American League, it was Jose Berrios of the Toronto Blue Jays, who shut down the Padres as well. He pitched to a .144 ERA with an MLB high 43 2/3 innings. The relievers of the month, we mentioned that it was Mason Miller of the Oakland A's, one of the fun surprises early in the year, just an absolute flamethrower. And he's off to a fantastic start. .135 ERA, struck out 28 of the 51 batters he faced.
Nasty, dude.
But in the National League, the Reliever of the Month award was given to Ryan Helsley of the St. Louis Cardinals. It's certainly not a bad choice. Had 10 saves, had a 1.69 ERA, which is very good.
It's very nice.
But,
it's
very nice.
But Robert Suarez had 10 saves and a 0.66 ERA over the first month of the season. Maybe a little overlooked. And I thought, well, you know, it's because the Cardinals are off to such a good start. They're not. They have a worse record than the Padres at this point. So, I mean, maybe you can say Helsley had more strikeouts. He had 5 more strikeouts than Suarez did in the first month of the year, but you know, a little bit of an odd choice.
When he, full run more.
Yeah, comparing, I mean, if you're comparing ERAs, Robert Suarez clearly wins that matchup. And not that the, you know, NL Reliever of the Month is some
What do you get, like a plaque or something?
I have no idea if you get anything at all.
$100?
That'd be nice.
Bonus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, strikeout-to-walk ratio was good, but they decided to give it to Ryan Helsley, maybe a little more of a name than, not much more of a name than Robert Suarez. But Robert Suarez had a fine
month,
and I've got to imagine he was a finalist and a candidate for the award. The other two awards were the Rookies of the Month, Colton Cowser, Baltimore Orioles.
Jeez, dude.
I mean, you feel like all they do is produce Rookies of the Month, essentially, in Baltimore, which is amazing. And then the NL Rookie of the Month is a pitcher that the Padres will be facing in a couple of days.
Very
Shota
cool.
Imanaga, who was 4-0 with a 0.98 ERA. Could have been the National League Pitcher of the Month if you really wanted to go that direction, but they gave him the NL Rookie of the Month. And while Jackson Merrill had a hot start, Shota Imanaga was good the entire start to the season.
He's been brilliant.
He'll be the guy to beat for the National League Rookie of the Year award at this point.
Got a little update, too. This earlier, we told you about Pat Bev was kind of rude to a reporter. Well, just saw a tweet from the reporter, Melinda Adams from ESPN. She said, I want to thank everyone for their kind words and support. I'm humbled. Patrick Beverly just called me and apologized. I appreciate it and accept it. The Bucks also reached out to apologize. I've been in news for over 40 years, and kindness and grace always wins.
You know, it's funny. Because what Pat Bev did was pretty gross. But if you apologize, it's over. It's almost like completely, it's almost as if it didn't even happen.
I love the personal call, too,
right.
Instead of a tweet. Hey, sorry about my behavior last night. Like, I love the personal call touch. And you obviously want to assume that he did that and no one forced him to do it. He's a free agent. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not like the Bucks held his feet to the fire or anything like that. He just hopefully said, man, that was a little bit out of pocket. I'm going to pick up the phone and call
him. I was having a really bad day.
I was having a bad day.
Made a fool of myself a couple of times,
yeah.
And now I need to make some apologies.
Are you a good apologizer or a bad one?
Ooh.
I'm not great, and I'm working on that.
I probably am not the best.
My wife says that I'm bad at accepting apologies, too, which is tough.
Accepting apologies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it
Paulie,
is.
Paulie, I'm sorry I tried to throw you under the bus earlier. It was my fault.
That's
F you.
That's brilliant. That's me. That's my response. You know what? You should be, you sack of ass. That's mine. It's terrible. It's a terrible quality I have. I'm working to get better at apologizing. Hey, sorry about that.
It's hard not to throw in a rationalization or a excuse, though, with the apology, and that really diminishes the apology. I am sorry, but I was tired. I'm sorry, but I had some other things on my mind.
Yes.
I was distracted. I'm sorry, but a real apology doesn't have a but. It doesn't have a qualification.
Yeah, mine are usually, hey, I'm sorry I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt.
Sorry that offended you.
Sorry that offended you. It's a bad apology, man.
My feelings aren't hurt. My stomach hurts.
Your stomach hurts.
It really does.
Dirty
How can two tiny little beans, and it's like, oh, it's just painful right now.
They're so potent.
And old now, too.
Yeah, old
it's not
and
like
stale.
Stored them in
They're not going to taste better if they're fresh. Let's
not
be
taste
completely
better, but could they be doing more harm to my system?
Potentially.
Because they're old
could
and nasty.
Rotten.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Paulie is going to have the Rindle Report when we come back, and then at 9 o'clock, it's the Manager's Report with Mike Shildt. Looking forward to talking to the skipper of the San Diego Padres. It's all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food. From a healthier way to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com. Ryanreport.com/radio. All right, we will get to a Ryan report. I did see a headline just a second ago. Confirmed via a source, the Dolphins have agreed to terms with wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr.
I thought I just saw the Raiders did.
Wow, that's very aggressive.
Conflicting.
He's signing
reports.
With multiple teams. Multiple. Procedure in place to stop a guy from signing with two teams at the same time.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Double dipping, maybe?
Yeah,
you know, hey, you know what? Hey, when the games aren't on the same day, I'll play for both teams. You know, we'll practice early in the week with one team.
What team is it? Did we figure it out for sure?
Well, Adam Schefter reposted the one about the Dolphins.
I'll
so unless
Schefter.
He's
Schefter.
Unless he's completely off base, I've got to believe that the Dolphins report is correct.
All right. I'll go with you on that one.
Let's check traffic.
I
then
honestly couldn't care less.
Polly's got some head. Yeah. I don't know if anyone should care at
no,
this point.
Don't think so.
In OBJ.
No.
Polly's got the Ryan report after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Ryan report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Ryan report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah? Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, indeed.
Gentlemen, we will start off. How about the NBA playoffs? Had two games yesterday in the Eastern Conference, and both series came to an end. Two game sixes yesterday. We'll start with the early game. The Pacers absolutely wiped the floor with the Bucks. Now, Damian Lillard did return for Milwaukee, but they're just not... They're not the same team without Giannis, and they lost 120-98. So
they're done.
Indiana moving on to the next round, and then the 76ers and the Knicks. We talked about it briefly earlier in the show. Probably the best series so far in the NBA playoffs.
One of the best series I think ever in the NBA playoffs.
Really
at least for
good.
A first round series.
Every game was really
close. Amazing. I was like looking forward to those games by the end, and they never disappointed.
This game was in Philadelphia, the 76ers looking to force a game seven. They were down, and they were down big in yesterday's game. They came back, they tied the game, they got down by 8 or 10 points again, came back, tied it again late in the game, and the Knicks prevailed 118-115, so the New York Knickerbockers are heading to the next round. Jalen Brunson had 41 points last
beast,
night.
He is that guy now.
He is a star. Yeah,
he's him.
There you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joel Embiid is going to get a lot of criticism for another early playoff exit. I thought he played terrific in the series. I mean, he tried everything.
39-13
to lift the team on his back, and they just ran into a really good Knicks team.
It was a seven seed versus a two seed. I mean, the Knicks were the better team. Tobias Harris put up a goose egg for the 76ers. So
I saw somewhere that he's making like $37 million or something.
And he didn't do anything in the entire six games.
I think they're rid of him after this season.
I think they are too. I believe.
Yeah.
So tonight in the NBA, it's an ESPN doubleheader starting at 4:00. Game six between the Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That game is in Orlando. Cleveland has a 3-2 series lead, so they're going to look to close that series out.
But the Magic won both games at home rather handily, so that one could go seven.
And then after that, Dallas Mavericks are hosting the LA Clippers. Dallas has a 3-2 series lead. They're at home. They would like to put away the Clippers tonight. That's
big times
off at 6:30.
Big times in Dallas with the Stars and the Mavs both enjoying 3-2 leads.
I believe their baseball team is the defending World Series champion, and their football team just signed Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh my God! Again,
at running back.
Oh, wow!
Again. Honestly, the Cowboys might be the biggest laughing stock of all their sports
teams.
You're
not wrong, actually. Yeah, which is a pretty incredible thing. They will still get the most coverage, which is wild. But they're
in the biggest torture chamber of any of the Dallas teams at the moment, which is something you can almost never say in Dallas.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Next up, Woodsy actually put this story on my radar, and it's the right video clip, Ben.
You're welcome.
So,
I mean, let's wait until he plays it.
I actually played it earlier.
Oh, you mean you checked to make sure before?
I wasn't going
to
make that
mistake. Did Woods tell you to check to make sure?
No, I didn't. Sure didn't.
No. So you just did it for him, and you just you didn't do it for me.
Right.
Apology rescinded.
Again, you called for a Sarah Langs video. You sent me a Sarah Langs video.
Correct.
I played Sarah Langs video. That was in our 7 o'clock hour. So we love the draft videos from the NFL, whether it's the guy receiving the phone call or talking to the coach for the first time.
So good, man.
And with those draft videos also comes the combine interviews. Now, the combine was several weeks ago, but you always get the weird questions, right?
They did, like they said one recently, Sean Payton, a guy walked in the room and he goes, "What's in your backpack?" They're always trying
to,
like,
weird how these NFL scouts and coaches treat these college players still at the time.
It's very odd.
They try to, like, goad them into saying something weird. Like, they give them a really weird question to see how they respond.
Ben, what is in your backpack off the top of your head?
There's a folder that I don't use at all.
Why is it in there?
It's basically to protect my laptop when I stick it in there to give it a buffer on both sides.
Whoa.
There are some chargers.
Whoa.
Okay. Like LaDainian Tomlinson?
No, like computer and cell phone chargers.
Okay.
And there's this Wi-Fi thing they gave me at work if I need a hotspot.
Okay. Saltines or anything?
Oh, there's a tee. I got an Aztec's tee. San Diego State golf tee. Right. I don't know how that got in there.
You seem, if I was an NFL GM, I'd say you seem a little disorganized, son.
Fair enough. That's and it also has broken zippers so it doesn't close.
Yeah. Clearly, attention to detail is not something. We're going to move on to the next wide receiver in the draft.
Chris says Darren Sproles in that backpack. Yeah, well, he would fit.
He would fit.
Actually.
That's me. Well, anyways, Keon Coleman was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. The Bills put out this video. They were asking him, what do you like to do outside of football? Any interests or hobbies? And I loved
this
his answer.
Amazing.
Do you do outside of football?
Chill at the house. Golf. Bowl a little bit.
You golf?
I ain't no golf. I ain't. I'm Tiger Wish he could. I'm not Tiger Woods. So I wish I could put it through all that. Them boys out there shooting 5 under. I ain't doing all that. I'm on my TV 5 to hit just to put it in. But I'm gonna go have fun. Like, you know, it's controlled chaos. You know, you frustrated, but you can't get mad. Pull a muscle in your back trying to hit the ball. So it forces me to stay calm and just swing. Just have some fun.
I loved it. I thought it was Tiger Wish he could.
I'm not Tiger Woods.
He's a hack.
Yeah, he's a
hack.
But
he enjoys the game like most of us.
But he's also
one of us.
He's got the right mentality. Like he says it forces me to stay calm. And if I can't relate, because you hit a bad shot, you swing harder at the next one. Try to hit the ball 400 yards, it's just not gonna happen. I thought that was great.
And finally, Airbnb has announced their Icons line of places that you can rent for a vacation. And what this is, I think we've talked about some of these in the past. Like in the past, they've had a house that was built to look like the swamp from Shrek or other movie sets. Big on the movie sets.
Novelty vacations.
Yeah. So the biggest one highlighting this year's Icons line on Airbnb, I think it's free. You have to, like, enter, you win a little lottery, and you get the chance to stay there for a couple of nights. I don't know if either of you have seen the Pixar film Up.
No.
No?
Yes.
So
it's the old guy and the balloons on the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
The old guy with the balloons on the house.
Is it a cartoon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an anime. It's Pixar.
So was Shrek.
We don't need to name off every animated film.
No, but you said,
Fantasia.
I'm assuming you can stay in the Up house.
Yes.
Just like you could stay in the Shrek house. Neither of them are real, though.
In Up, the old man has a home, and he decides to go on an adventure for his late wife that she never got to go on the adventure. So he ties a million balloons to his house, and his house lifts up and flies off to the land that he's going to. And so what they did, and I'm throwing it up on the YouTube stream here, is they have a crane holding a small home up in the air with a bunch of balloons tied above it, just like in Up, and you can stay there if you would like.
No.
Bad if you're a sleepwalker. That's not good.
How do you... I mean, so that you obviously enter the house around, and then
obviously,
a crane pulls you up. No. Who wants to sleep dangling in the air?
I certainly don't.
Nor do I. The crane guy's like, I'm taking off. See you later. See you guys in the morning. Hope it goes well. Forget it.
See you in a couple days.
Yeah, maybe. See you in a couple days.
I mean, obviously the plumbing can't be attached to anything, so you've got no running water or toilets or anything.
It's the dumbest.
Just thinking about that.
Some of the other highlights on the Icons line for Airbnb. You can stay at the X Mansion from X-Men 97. They have the Ferrari Museum in Italy. You can stay there.
Just stay in a hotel.
Prince's House from Purple Rain in Minnesota.
All right, now there I would stay.
You could stay there. And then they have other experiences. Like, you could have a living room performance at your vacation home from Doja Cat, or a private comedy show at your vacation home with Kevin Hart.
Pass.
Is that actually feed him when he's over
all
there?
All of these sound terrible.
You can go to Airbnb.com and... try to win a stay at any of those experiences.
I've got this trip that I'm doing. Well, it's not really a trip. It's to L.A., but my favorite band's coming in for three nights. Well, they're going San Diego, Anaheim, L.A. I'm going three nights in a row.
Crosses.
No.
Kings of Leon.
The Afghan Wigs.
Deftones.
So, Thursday night here in San Diego, Friday night in Anaheim, and Saturday night in L.A.
And which one are you going to?
All three.
All three.
Back to back to back nights.
Three different venues.
I've never done that before. It's like my version of being a deadhead. Going to three straight
shows. Are you riding
on
the tour bus with them, or do you have to make your own transportation?
I have to make my own transportation, but I think what I'm going to do is we're going to go spend a couple nights in Hollywood, right? And then we'll just double back to Anaheim for the show, take a car or something. And
long drive.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll get a car. Like, I'm not going to drive. But I was looking at Airbnb.
It's a long Uber.
It is. I know people. It's fine. I've got... I looked at Airbnbs in like Hollywood, and I was like, "Oh, that's actually pretty. That's not bad. Like, you know, $300-$400 a night or whatever." I was like, "Oh, it's not bad for a big house." The fees, oh my god, the fees are like double what the cost of a night is.
Like cleaning fees,
and then the Airbnb fee. I was like, "Bro, you are killing me." So now I was looking at hotels, but I'm not sharing a room, guys. My buddy's coming out. It's his 50th birthday. 50 years old. I'm 48 years old.
Didn't you stay at the Chateau Marmont?
No, I want to.
No, you want to.
But I priced rooms there. Yeah, we can get a 300-square-foot room for like $850 a night. And I'm like, is it worth it? I don't think so. So, anyway, the fees are outrageous with Airbnbs these days.
Maybe you can win it in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow.
Win what?
The money to pay for your trip.
Well, yeah. That would entail me betting.
Who do you have in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow?
I have no idea.
If I just gave you the names,
right,
if you just picked
names,
by names, pick a winner for us here. Doorknock, Sierra Leone, Mystic Dan, Catching Freedom, Catalytic, Just Steel, Honor Marie, Just a Touch, Encino, T.O. Password, Forever Young, Track Phantom, West Saratoga, Endlessly, Domestic Product, Grand Mo the First, Fierceness, Stronghold, Resilience, Society Man, Epic Ride.
I'm going with Honor Marie.
Honor Marie.
Yeah.
20-1.
20-1. Okay.
20-1. Kind of in the middle.
Epic Ride.
Middle of the pack. Epic Ride at the end. 30-1 long shot.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite right now is Sierra Leone. 3-1. Actually, Fierceness is 5-2. So those are your two single
digits. As I'm writing these down like a moron, I'm not going to bet on this.
Definitely lost some of its luster over the years.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, what were the biggest, like, things that were huge when we were kids that are no longer? Indy 500 used to be huge.
I think it still is for their
I don't think it
scene.
Is.
No?
Well, maybe if you're a
like
huge
Italian
auto
Paul
fan, but
probably loves the Indy
500. I don't know. I mean, Formula One, NASCAR, all of it seems more important now than American open wheel racing. Kentucky Derby just doesn't seem to have the same cachet. Big boxing matches used to be huge. Oh. Like Mike Tyson was fighting.
Now
is he fighting? When is he fighting?
Fighting Jake Paul.
Is it soon?
This summer, I think.
I thought it was this week.
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
See, you don't even know he's fighting. You would have known when he was fighting Buster Douglas, though, in Japan.
Yeah. Watched that fight.
You did?
Yeah.
You watched that fight?
Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I was on HBO or Showtime. HBO?
Wasn't that the one that was in Japan?
Yeah.
That he lost? A stunning one.
My dad and I.
July 20th is that boxing.
Okay. Day after my birthday. We watched that fight in our game room, and it was unbelievable watching Tyson lose for the first time ever. It was incredible. I was stunned. I remember that well. That's when it used to be on HBO or Showtime or whatever. And never forget it, man. Just looked Just there's no way he's losing that fight, and he did.
I'm not big on the boxing or MMA world, but
there's a lot going on right now.
In my bucket list is going to like Vegas and seeing the big fight. Like I think that would be fun to go
fight
to.
Night at, fight in night. Vegas.
I watched. Was that last big fight that they had in Vegas? The big one where that guy got just pummeled. And I honestly, I was walking.
The UFC one.
Yeah, the UFC. Yeah. I was walking out and I went, man, I don't know if I can handle it. Like the guy just got crushed, man. More power to you if that's your thing. But I miss like the big heavyweight boxing matches. That was something when we were kids. It was everything.
They were.
Tyson
they
Holyfield was everything.
Anticipated for months. And now just not the same anymore.
It's not. Things change.
They do. Now we're anticipating three Padres games against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And the skipper.
Manager of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, will join us for our weekly manager's report on a Friar Friday. That is coming up next to kick off our final hour of the week of Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. All right, we will get to a Rindle report. I did see a headline just a second ago. Confirmed via a source, the Dolphins have agreed to terms with wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr.
I thought I just saw the Raiders did.
Wow, that's very aggressive.
Conflicting.
He's signing
reports.
With multiple teams, multiple. Procedure in place to stop a guy from signing with two teams at the same time.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Double dipping, maybe? You know what? Hey, when the games aren't on the same day, I'll play for both teams. You know, we'll practice early in the week with one team.
What team is it? Did we figure it out for sure?
Well, Adam Schefter reposted the one about the Dolphins. Unless he's completely off base, I've got to believe that the Dolphins report is correct.
All right. I'll go with you on that one.
Let's check traffic.
Honestly, couldn't care less.
Polly's got some head. Yeah. I don't know if anyone should care at
no,
this point.
Don't think so.
In OBJ.
No.
Polly's got the Rindle report after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right, indeed.
Gentlemen, we will start off. How about the NBA playoffs? Had two games yesterday in the Eastern Conference, and both series came to an end. Two game sixes yesterday. We'll start with the early game. The Pacers absolutely wiped the floor with the Bucks. Now, Damian Lillard did return for Milwaukee, but they're not the same team without Giannis, and they lost 120-98, so
they're done.
Indiana moving on to the next round. And then the 76ers and the Knicks, we talked about it briefly earlier in the show, probably the best series so far in the NBA playoffs.
One of the best series, I think, ever in the NBA playoffs,
really
at least for
good.
A first-round series.
Every game was really
close. It was amazing. I was like looking forward to those games by the end, and they never disappointed.
This game was in Philadelphia. The 76ers looking to force a game seven. They were down, and they were down big in yesterday's game. They came back. They tied the game. They got down by 8 or 10 points again. Came back, tied it again late in the game. And the Knicks prevailed 118-115. So the New York Knickerbockers are heading to the next round. Jalen Brunson had 41 points last
beast,
night.
He is that guy now.
He is a star. Yeah, he's him. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, Joel Embiid is going to get a lot of criticism for another early playoff exit. I thought he played terrific in the series. I mean, he tried everything.
39-13
to lift the team on his back, and they just ran into a really good Knicks team.
It was a seven seed versus a two seed. I mean, yeah. The Knicks were the better team. Tobias Harris put up a goose egg for the 76ers.
I saw somewhere that he's making like $37 million or something.
and he didn't do anything in the entire six games.
I think they're rid of him after this season.
I think they are too. I believe they're free agent. So tonight in the NBA, it's an ESPN doubleheader starting at 4 o'clock. Game six between the Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That game is in Orlando. Cleveland has a 3-2 series lead, so they're going to look to close that series out.
But the Magic won both games at home rather handily, so that one could go seven.
And then after that, Dallas Mavericks are hosting the LA Clippers. Dallas has a 3-2 series lead. They're at home. They would like to put away the Clippers tonight. That's tipping off at 6:30.
Big times in Dallas with the Stars and the Mavs both enjoying 3-2 leads.
So I believe their baseball team is the defending World Series champion, and their football team just signed Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh my God! Again,
at running back.
Oh, wow!
Again,
wow!
Honestly, the Cowboys might be the biggest laughing stock of all their sports.
You're
teams
not
now.
Wrong, actually. Yeah, which is a pretty incredible thing. They will still get the most coverage, which is wild. But
they're
in
the biggest torture chamber of any of the Dallas teams at the moment, which is something you can almost never say in Dallas.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Next up, Woodsy actually put this story on my radar, and it's the right video clip, Ben.
You're welcome.
So,
I mean, let's wait until he plays it.
I actually played it earlier.
Oh, you mean you checked to make sure before?
I wasn't going to make that
mistake. Did Woods tell you to check to make sure?
No, sure didn't.
So you just did it for him, and you didn't do it for me.
Right.
Apology rescinded.
Again, you called for a Sarah Langs video. You sent me a Sarah Langs video.
Correct.
I played said Sarah Langs video. That was in our 7 o'clock hour. So we love the draft videos from the NFL, whether it's the guy receiving the phone call or talking to the coach
this?
For the first time.
So good, man.
And with those draft videos also comes the combine interviews. Now, the combine was several weeks ago, but you always get the weird questions, right?
They did, like they said one recently, Sean Payton, a guy walked in the room and he goes, "What's in your backpack?" They're always trying
it's
to
so
like
weird how these NFL
weird.
Scouts like, and coaches treat these college players still at the time.
It's very odd.
They try to like goad him into saying something weird. Like they give him a really weird question to see how they would respond.
Ben, what is in your backpack? Off the top of your head.
There's a folder that I don't use at all.
Why is it in there?
It's basically to protect my laptop when I stick it in there to give it a buffer on both sides.
Whoa.
There are some chargers.
Whoa.
Okay. Like LaDainian Tomlinson?
No, like computer and cell phone chargers.
Okay.
And there's this Wi-Fi thing they gave me at work if I need a hotspot.
Okay. Saltines or anything?
Oh, there's a tee. I got an Aztec's tee. San Diego State golf tee. Right. I don't know how that got in there.
You seem, if I was an NFL GM, I'd say, you seem a little disorganized, son.
Fair enough. That's and it also has broken zippers so it doesn't close.
Yeah. Clearly, attention to detail is not something we're going to move on to the next wide receiver in the draft.
Because Chris says Darren Sproles in that backpack. Yeah, well, he would fit.
He would fit.
Actually.
That's me.
Well, anyways, Keon Coleman was drafted by the Buffalo Bills. The Bills put out this video. They were asking him, what do you like to do outside of football? Any interests or hobbies? And I loved
this
his
is amazing.
Answer.
Do you do outside of football?
Chill at the house. Golf. Bowl a little bit.
You golf?
I ain't no golf. I'm Tiger Wish he could. I'm not Tiger Woods. No. So I wish I could put it through all that. Them boys out there shooting 5 under. I ain't doing all that. I'm like, TV 5 hit just to put it in. But I'm gonna go have fun. Like, you know, it's controlled chaos. You know, you frustrated, but you can't get mad. Pull a muscle in your back trying to hit the ball. So it forces me to stay calm and just swing. Just have some fun.
I loved it. I thought it was Tiger Wish he could.
I'm not Tiger Woods.
He's a hack.
Yeah, he's a hack.
He enjoys the game like most of us.
But he's also
one of us.
He's got the right mentality. Like he says it forces me to stay calm. And if I can't relate, because you hit a bad shot, you swing harder at the next one. Try to hit the ball 400 yards, it's just not going to happen. I thought that was great.
And finally, Airbnb has announced their Icons line of places that you can rent for a vacation. And what this is, I think we've talked about some of these in the past. Like in the past, they've had a house that was built to look like the swamp from Shrek or other movie sets. Big on the movie sets.
Novelty vacations.
Yeah. So the biggest one highlighting this year's Icons line on Airbnb, it's... I think it's free. You have to like enter, you win a little lottery, and you get the chance to stay there for a couple of nights. I don't know if either of you have seen the Pixar film Up.
No.
No?
Yes.
So
it's the old guy and the balloons on the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
The old guy with the balloons on the house.
Is it a cartoon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an anime. It's Pixar.
So was Shrek.
We don't need to name off every animated film.
No, but you said, yes. I'm assuming you can stay in the Up house.
Yes.
Just like you could stay in the Shrek house. Neither of them are real, though.
In Up, the old man has a home, and he decides to go on an adventure for his late wife that she never got to go on the adventure. So he ties a million balloons to his house, and his house lifts up and flies off to the land that he's going to. And so what they did, and I'm throwing it up on the YouTube stream here, is they have a crane holding a small home up in the air with a bunch of balloons tied above it, just like in Up, and you can stay there if you would like.
No.
Bad if you're a sleepwalker. That's not good.
How do you... I mean, so that you obviously enter the house around, and then the crane pulls you up. No. Who wants to sleep dangling in the air?
I certainly don't.
Nor do I. The crane guy's like, I'm taking off. See you later. See you guys in the morning. Hope it goes well. Forget it.
See you in a couple days.
Yeah, maybe. See you in a couple days.
I mean, obviously the plumbing can't be attached to anything, so you've got no running water or toilets or anything.
It's the dumbest.
Just thinking about that.
Some of the other highlights on the Icons line for Airbnb, you can stay at the X Mansion from X-Men 97. They have the Ferrari Museum in Italy. You can stay there.
Just stay in a hotel.
Prince's House from Purple Rain in Minnesota.
All right, now there I would stay.
You could stay there. And then they have other experiences. Like, you could have a living room performance at your vacation home from Doja Cat, or a private comedy show at your vacation home with Kevin Hart.
Pass.
Did you feed him when he's over
all
there?
All of these sound terrible.
You can go to Airbnb.com and... try to win a stay at any of those experiences.
I've got this trip that I'm doing. Well, it's not really a trip. It's to L.A., but my favorite band's coming in for three nights. Well, they're going San Diego, Anaheim, L.A. I'm going three nights in a row.
Crosses.
No.
Kings of Leon.
The Afghan
Wigs. Afghan Wigs.
Deftones.
So Thursday night here in San Diego, Friday night in Anaheim, and Saturday night in L.A.
And which one are you going to?
All three.
All three.
Back to back to back nights.
Three different venues.
I've never done that before. It's like my version of being a deadhead. Going to three straight
shows. Are you
riding
on the tour bus with them, or do you have to make your own transportation?
I have to make my own transportation, but I think what I'm going to do is we're going to go spend a couple nights in Hollywood, right? And then we'll just double back to Anaheim for the show, take a car or something. And
a long drive.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll get a car. Like, I'm not going to drive. But I was looking at Airbnb.
It's a long Uber.
It is. It is. I know people. It's fine. I've got... I looked at Airbnbs in like Hollywood, and I was like, "Oh, that's actually pretty. That's not bad. Like, you know, $300-$400 a night or whatever." I was like, "Oh, it's not bad for a big house." The fees, oh my god, the fees are like double what the cost of a night is.
Like cleaning fees,
and then the Airbnb fee. I was like, "Bro, you are killing me." So now I was looking at hotels, but I'm not sharing a room, guys. My buddy's coming out. It's his 50th birthday. He's 50 years old. I'm 48 years old.
Didn't you stay at the Chateau Marmont?
No, I want to.
No, you want to.
But I priced rooms there. Yeah, we can get a 300-square-foot room for like $850 a night. And I'm like, is it worth it? I don't think so. So, anyway, the fees are outrageous with Airbnbs these days.
Maybe you can win it in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow.
Win what?
The money to pay for your trip.
Well, that would entail me betting.
Who do you have in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow?
I have no idea.
If I just gave you the names,
right,
you just picked
names,
by name, pick a winner for us here. Doorknock, Sierra Leone, Mystic Dan, Catching Freedom, Catalytic, Just Steel, Honor Marie, Just a Touch, Encino, T.O. Password, Forever Young, Track Phantom, West Saratoga, Endlessly, Domestic Product, Grand Mo the First, Fierceness, Stronghold, Resilience, Society Man, Epic Ride.
I'm going with Honor Marie.
Honor Marie.
Yeah.
20-1.
20-1. Okay.
20-1. Kind of in the middle.
Epic Ride.
Middle of the pack. Epic Ride at the end. 30-1 long shot.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite right now is Sierra Leone. 3-1. Actually, Fierceness is 5-2. So those are your two.
As I'm writing these down like a moron, I'm not going to bet on this.
definitely lost some of its luster over the years.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, what were the biggest, like, things that were huge when we were kids that are no longer? Indy 500 used to be huge.
I think it still is for their scene.
I don't think it is.
No?
Well, maybe if you're a
like
huge
Italian
auto racing
Paul
fan, but
probably loves the Indy 500.
I don't know. I mean, Formula One, NASCAR, all of it seems more important now than American open wheel racing. Kentucky Derby just doesn't seem to have the same cachet. Big boxing matches used to be huge. Like Mike Tyson was fighting.
Now
is he fighting? When is he fighting?
Fighting Jake Paul.
Is it soon?
This summer, I think.
I thought it was this weekend.
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
See, you don't even know no when idea. He's fighting. You would have known when he was fighting Buster Douglas, though, in Japan.
Yeah. Watched that fight.
You did?
Yeah.
You watched that fight?
Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I was on HBO or Showtime. HBO?
Wasn't that the one that was in Japan?
Yeah.
That he lost? A stunning one.
My dad and I.
July 20th is that boxing.
Okay. Day after my birthday. We watched that fight in our game room, and it was unbelievable watching Tyson lose for the first time ever. It was incredible. I was stunned. I remember that well. That's when it used to be on HBO or Showtime or whatever, and never forget it, man. Just there's no way he's losing that fight, and he did.
I'm not big on the boxing or MMA world, but
there's a lot going on
that's
right
been
now.
In my bucket list is going to like Vegas and seeing the big fight. Like, I think that would be fun to go
fight
to.
Fight night in Vegas.
I watched, was that last big fight that they had in Vegas? The big one where that guy got just pummeled? And I honestly, I was walking.
The UFC one.
Yeah, the UFC. Yeah. I was walking out and I went, man, I don't know if I can handle it. Like, the guy just got crushed, man. More power to you if that's your thing. But I miss like the big heavyweight boxing matches. That was something when we were kids. It was everything.
They were.
Tyson Holyfield was
everything. They anticipated for months. And now, just not the same anymore.
It's not. Things change.
They do. Now we're anticipating three Padres games against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
And the skipper.
Manager of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, will join us for our weekly manager's report on a Friar Friday. That is coming up next to kick off our final hour of the week of Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.